Hi everybody, it's Mark Sams here from Ninja Outreach. Today we've got one of the co-founders of simplycast.com. His name is Saheed, and what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the journey of that company, how they actually came about, and basically how this communication tool can actually be useful for you and your business. So Saheed, how are you doing?
Not too bad, how are you?
I'm very well. So Saheed, first thing I want to sort of do with you is just really just sort of get a bit of an understanding about like yourself and like what you was doing before you actually started this business and what led you to this.
Sure, yeah. So where do you want me to start? Since I was born or?
maybe just go back from sort of like a relevant point of.
Sure, yeah.
What you were doing beforehand and then sort of leading into this.
Sure, yeah. So after graduation, I got picked up by the federal government to actually work as an intern. And I worked in commercialization and eventually into venture capital. Then I worked as a venture capitalist for 5 years, basically sitting on boards and funding many, many startups locally in Canada here. And then eventually saw an opportunity that within many of the small startups, they didn't know how to do proper marketing. The tools weren't as easy. Many of the tools that were required to do communication and marketing were with the big boys and girls in the corporate world, and decided that, you know, there has to be a tool that's available for anyone that has, you know, that has no money to market, where a free technology was available. So I decided to create a technology platform that allows every type of business, small, medium, or large, to communicate with their customers using what we call a preferred mode of communication.
So, like, back in the early days when, like, you were just starting out, like, what were some of the, like, okay, so before I actually go into that, what I want to find out is, so you decided to start this company, like, what made you sort of go in and sort of say, did you do some research beforehand? Like,
yes, oh, definitely. I mean, there's a, so as I was sitting on the board of multiple companies, I saw that the various tools that the owners and the entrepreneurs, co-founders were using were just not adequate. Some were using email, some were using survey through another company, somebody was using SMS through another company, and the life cycle of a journey of a client across all these various channels was not succinct and was not on a single record. So I thought that there's an opportunity that if somebody was to create a company that has all these communication channels, and regardless of what the next communication channels that pops up, they shouldn't be looking for another solution. They should be adding that channel to an existing solution. So that's how I came up with SimplyCast. You know, basically the word is simply broadcasting, allowing you to broadcast your message to any channel that exists that your customer prefer to hear your message on.
That makes complete sense to me. And what I got from that is that what you've done is you've consolidated all of the different places that you can communicate with your customers, leads, maybe even friends and family, and have it all in one place and all in one dashboard, so you don't have to be jumping from different tools and different apps.
That's correct. You got it. You hit the nail on the head, as they say. And you know, part of the next generation of SimplyCast is that we wanted to now automate processes that you as a business person just don't have time to do. And this is where SimplyCast 360 comes in. That allows you to automate every process within your business, so every customer receives that same treatment that you would if you had you know, a lot of time on your hands to actually
Are you talking about things like automatically retweeting people's content?
That's correct, yo. So retweeting is a part and parcel of automation. However, welcoming a client when they sign up is something that's very important. You know, giving them a reward of some sort because they have conducted some sort of business with you, thanking them for being a customer is very important.
Definitely.
Many people don't see that as something that should be done. And
that's
however,
so
our technology allows you to do that regardless if you have one person or a million people.
That's so important. I agree 100% because from running a subscription based business myself, people need to know that you care about them and that you're grateful that they're a customer of yours.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's definitely important. So you've started SimplyCast now. Like back in, how long ago would you say that was?
5 years ago now.
Okay, so back in those early days, like when you actually started it, what would you say are some of the challenges that you faced, and like how did you actually manage them and overcome them?
Sure,
in regards to traffic, product development, and customer service. Sorry.
Yeah, so I guess we'll start off with development specifically. Many of the individuals that looked at the product vision and where we were going basically said, Saeed, that's not possible for you to build such a solution. It's going to require tens and tens of millions of dollars for developing it, and it's going to require some very specialized expertise that you could probably only find in the Valley, in Silicon Valley, okay, in San Francisco. So I think that is something that your audience will probably relate to. And one of the most important things, if you truly believe in your idea, is never to give up, because you can get it done. It's just going to take a lot more time and a lot more effort. And that was one of the biggest probably challenge that I received, is that many people around you always, did not believe in the overall vision. However, now if you look back to some of those individuals and we talk to them, they're the biggest fans of our company, and they have an appreciation. Why that we've been able to build such a platform.
I want to drill down on that, because I have to admit that when we did our market research and we were talking to people and so on and so forth, one of the things that spurred me on before we actually got started and started getting momentum was the fact that people were positive and they were saying that they would use us and that was a good idea. How did you deal with that? It being about like people saying, no, I don't think that's going to work and stuff like that. How did you continue to stay motivated? What did you see in the marketplace that they didn't?
Yeah, so I saw that pretty much every one of the channels that we were integrating is already established, and that if we are to disrupt it and be able to actually build it all under a single platform, the world is only going to get to the point of wanting convenience over, expertise in a specific channel. And this is what's happening now. The market is consolidating. Many of our competitors are selling out to marketing automation companies because that's where the market is moving. And we... We believed in our vision. Our company has never pivoted, which is something that's very important, and we believed in our vision day one. And the way I've kind of overcome the negative sentiments that was coming in from the various individuals looking at our company is that every time I met a milestone, I would announce it, and I would actually showcase the success of the team. That kept the team together, that kept our investors motivated, and that also kept our community to see that the leadership of our organization had a vision, had a plan, and we're going to get to that plan.
Well, that's really good. That's really good. That's really powerful, in fact. And
for sure.
And in my mind, that's an even harder struggle when you're starting out, to sort of have to fight against that, knowing that you've got something and people not necessarily seeing it to start off with, and then actually sort of bringing it to the place where people are now like, oh, wow, okay.
For sure. As the traffic, Mark, we focused a lot on serving our, very niche customers on various, platform. When we started the company, we didn't actually start it as a single platform.
Yeah.
The way we started it is because we didn't want the world to know that we're building a single platform. So we actually marketed our product into the existing market. So we sold Survey on its own. We sold Twitter on its own. We sold Facebook on its own. And that
really?
Was one of the key strategies of our company.
That's a strategy, because to actually do that, you'd have to properly sort of think that out to say, yeah, let me go and bring a product at a time, then consolidate it.
Oh, for sure. And basically, we had 15 channels on the market, selling each channel separately. You can still buy those channels separately.
Why?
Today.
Why did Simplecast. You do that?
Because we didn't want to raise a lot of financing early on. We wanted to prove the model that we can be a bootstrap company and we can be a revenue generating company and a profitable company without having to raise a lot of capital early days until we prove into the model. And until this day, Simplecast has never received any major venture capital funding.
Okay, so obviously throughout your journey, like, what would you say is something that you've learned that has had like the greatest impact on the results that you're having within your business today?
Yeah, so I think that one of the most things that I've learned is that you must always believe in your team. Mm-hmm. You must always respect your team. But the one thing that that always comes back to me is that even your team could give up, you cannot show them that you're willing to give up. So focusing on your team, that they're human beings and they're, your greatest asset. Money will come, but if you treat your team well, they will deliver. And if they deliver well, they're going to deliver a good customer service to your clients as well. And it's a great atmosphere to be working in. And I think if there's one recommendation or suggestion that I would make to your audience is to focus on one thing, is that people come first, everything else comes second.
That's powerful, definitely. Okay, so... in addition to that, like, what would you say, like, so for myself, like, as somebody that's sort of like been building a business, I haven't been at it as long as yourself, but there's been certain people that have had like a profound impact on the way that I've grown as a business person. Is right. there anybody like that within your business and your life?
Oh, 100%. So I think, you know, first and foremost is, you know, I have a great mother. She has a lot of influence on me. And, mm-hmm. You know, I would probably say she's my greatest business advisor. You know, basically it goes back to that same mantra that I mentioned, is that you take care of the people around you. Those people will always carry you on their shoulders to get you to the finish line. And that's probably one of the most important things that a lot of people don't realize. But keeping good people around you is something that's very important. And the second thing is that I, you know, identified many, many years ago is that there's always one business person that is usually a very well-off person that can fund your business. Mm-hmm. If you can find that person and they blindly believe in you early on, you will be very successful. It's actually something that almost every unicorn company has been able to establish early on. And if you ask those founders, including Steve Jobs, including Bill Gates and many others, there's always one individual that gave them that first check and became their biggest advocate. Mm-hmm. Until they became, you know, very successful or IPO. And we have that one person in our company. His name is Bill Ritchie. He's one of those investors that have been around the city for a long time. He blindly believes in our technology and our business, and he's been a big supporter. Without him, we wouldn't be here today. And there's always that Bill type of person in almost every company that eventually becomes a billion-dollar business.
No, definitely. I can definitely see that. And I can hear the passion in your voice as well. Like, it must be fun as you're growing your business.
Exactly.
No, I feel that. Excellent. So, what would you say that you know now that you wish you knew when you first started?
Yeah, so I think you know, understanding that that your competition is always running behind you, and their goal is to get ahead of you as much as possible. Yeah. One thing that I've learned in the space, I guess, is that being first to market is always very important, and mm-hmm. I believe that's actually not true now, and that I wish I knew that early on in the day, that you probably want more people to be in the space that you're in before you offer your service, because chances are you're going to need hundreds of millions of dollars to educate the market that your technology is the best that it can be. However, if you can create a technology that's better than the incumbents and they've already created the market, you have a better chance of succeeding and making a lot of money.
Okay, no, that's true. I can definitely see that point. And
right. And I think the best example of that is the iPads and Steve Jobs. He didn't create the MP3 market. He didn't create the music business. He basically came in and created a better mousetrap that allowed people to become more resilient in automating the process of listening to music and storing it while you're on the go. But the actual industry already existed. He just came up with a better way to do it.
That leads me into thinking about like your team, and yes. like how have you gone about building that team?
Yeah, so I'll give you a secret. So I actually teach part-time at a university called St. Mary's University here locally.
Why do you do that? I just wondered, because I've been thinking about things like that. What sort of spurs you to do that?
So I didn't actually make that decision specifically for this reason, but this kind of came upon me when I was teaching. Mm-hmm. And I became, basically, as I was teaching some of the kids, I became aware of some of them that are very smart. And once the course was over, I approached them to get either hired by my friends or get hired in my company. So I was actually always, selecting the best talent in my classes to bring to my workplace. And now I have half of my staff that used to be my former students.
That's amazing. So that's how you build out your team. And like, how have you, like, obviously being a founder of the company, you've got to think about like your company culture and how you sort of like develop people and grow them. Is that something that's on your mind, or you just let that happen organically?
No, that's actually something that's engineered in our company. So day one, we made sure that we do not actually have an employee handbook, because policies actually demotivate employees, believe it or not. And okay. I made a single rule early on. I'm also an HR professional, so I've taken a lot of courses and I have designations in HR. Mm-hmm. So I've basically taken everything that you do in regular HR and flipped it on its head. And what I said to my employees is that the only reason that we will create a policy in our company is somebody has done something that somebody else does not like.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so we had no policies when we started, and now we probably have no more than maybe 6 policies. So everybody's aware that they should not, you know, rattle the snake to allow, you know, us to create more policies. As soon as a new policy comes out, they know that somebody has broken a rule, somebody has done something in the company. And until this day, we don't have many policies. So the team is trying to take care of itself. They see SimplyCast as their first and sometimes second home. They see the members of it as people that they want to work with, be friends with, and enjoy life with. So they want to make sure that they're happy and nobody's doing anything to abuse that ecosystem. It's almost like a tribe, basically.
No, that makes sense. And that's really cool because obviously that's the sort of culture that you want to develop, so people are like purpose-driven versus just wages-driven, if you know what I mean.
Exactly, exactly. And we have a very high retention rate. Almost 95% of our employees have been here for more than 3 years.
Excellent. That's really cool. Okay, so I want to just go into some actionable stuff about like traffic and generating traffic and stuff like that to obviously keep your business going. And like, what are some of the things that you're focusing on now? Is it like, yeah, give me some of the areas that you're focusing on to drive more signups, more people to your business.
Right. So I think you know, I don't know how many people listen to this interview, but you know, if everybody's doing it, chances are the noise level is too high, and you're not going to get the ROI and the benefit. So what you want to do is have a better understanding of where your customers, where your those clients that you're targeting are doing day to day, what they're interested in, how are you going to get them to basically establish a relationship with your brand, with your organization, with you as a person, as an individual. And once you figure that out, then the opportunity to expand the reach, it could be exponential, because it's not something like just an ad network that you're expanding your brand. It has to be related to the specific. So what we're doing at SimplyCast is something very simple. If you look at our strategy, overall marketing strategy, almost every vertical in the space that would utilize our product has a complete set of authoritative content that's available, that when you search any of the keywords within your industry, SimplyCast will be brand awareness in your SEO. And this is something that's, you know, it's not hard to do, but it's also not simple from an SEO perspective. Mm. So you focus on what your customers are searching for, and you want to show up there. Other things that we do is I do a lot of speaking engagements around the world, basically to expand our reach. We also provide a lot of case studies for our customers. We use video very heavily. So if you go on our website, you'll see a lot of videos. Uh-huh. We've also done use cases where we focus on the actual use case of the client. We don't do the typical email marketing things that companies do because, you know, people are tired of their email. However, we participate in forums. We participate on Twitter. We post on Facebook. So very similar to what the majority of the world would do.
No, definitely.
But we also focus on, you know, influencers, people that can speak about our product without us having to pay for it.
That's good. Building like win-win relationships.
Exactly, exactly. And there's other things that we have done, but they're, you know, it's really specific. So if somebody can tell me a specific business that they want to market, I can give them those very specific components.
I see what you mean. One of the key things that I picked up there was, like you said, about you do a lot of speaking engagements across the world, and I wanted to drill down into that a little bit. Like, is that something that your team proactively go after for you, like getting you these speaking gigs, or are these event companies approaching you, or is it a hybrid of both?
Yeah, in most cases they're very reactive, so we go to the ones that we believe that we would add value to. However, my team is actually looking at expanding into doing proactive work so we can actually go to more. However, you know, we don't want to be on the road every day. The goal is that, you know, we do maybe one or two a month.
Okay. No, that's really good. That's really good. Okay, cool. Excellent. So when you're not doing business, what sort of things are you doing in your spare time, if you get any?
Yeah, so, you know, I do have 4 kids, so spending time with my family is something that's very
important. That's a lot of kids, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a lot of kids, but somebody's got to populate the world, right?
No, definitely, definitely. I've got two, and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. I do a lot of fishing as well, so I fish usually just harbor fishing. Something that's very important for most people, I think even Mark Zuckerberg does this a little more religiously than most, is reading a book once a month. I think Mark reads a book once a week, I hear. And something that's not doesn't have to be related to business, but an opportunity for you to expand your horizon, because, you know, one piece of information within a book could potentially give you an idea that could change the world.
That's so true. Like, I'm definitely always consuming information. I think if I can just get that one gem, that little twist that just improves my traffic, improves conversions, improves like the way that I add value to my customers. I'm always looking for that. So
exactly.
That makes that sense. Okay.
Yeah. So reading is important.
Okay. Cool. So, what would you say? This was like, what are the key things that you think like drive you and you enjoy most about what you do?
Right.
Basically keeps you going because, as you know, business is hard. There's ups and downs. You've got fluctuations. And all different things are happening within your business, and it's like it's what keeps you going.
Yeah, I think the more the, you know, I've been struggling with this question for a little while when I started the business, and I realized back to what I said to you earlier, mm-hmm. is that one of the most important things in business is who you surround yourself with. So having the best team, mm-hmm. for you to wake up every morning knowing that they're going to be, you know, busting their gut, they're going to work their behinds off to ensure that your business is moving forward, is the best feeling in the world. I know a couple of business owners that actually scream at their employees, and their employees are constantly, turning over. Mm-hmm. He's not a happy guy. They're not happy, and the whole environment is very toxic. So I think business really comes down to respecting the people around you, giving them the opportunity to learn rather than you taking something from them. And I think that makes me a very happy person, where I want to wake up every morning, because as a professor, as a teacher, we actually get very, you know, let me use this word very lightly, but we get high on educating. We get high on allowing those individuals that they've learned something, that you've made an influence on people, that you've made an impact. So I think the word impact is very important to me. I want to wake up every morning and make an impact on someone, either my kid, my family, my employees, my coworkers, even, you know, making an impact on you, Mark, is very important to me.
No, the thing is, that's important. I see that as important because it's that sort of thing that allows you to a life to be meaningful versus just like you're just getting up like a zombie, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
No, I agree 100%. Like, all right, so just like wrapping things up now, like I want to get sort of an idea. Like, would you say that we've covered some of the main important things that a new business owner is should be interested in? I just want to get some like any parting advice that you think that people that are starting their business, have been running the business for a little while, and they want to take it to that next level.
Yeah, so I think financing one, you know, I'll give maybe very quick one-liners to help out some of the people that are listening to your show. Mm-hmm. You know, never raise capital when you need it. Always raise capital when you don't need it. It's a key thing. Okay. That when you're on your knees, everybody will try to take advantage of you. And most people don't think of financing when they start their business. That should be your first thing to focus on. Ensure that you're raising more than what you need rather than raising the money when you need it. So that's something that's very important. Utilizing that cash very diligently and making sure that you're as cheap as humanly possible when you're spending your dollars, and managing those dollars to extend your runways is something that's very important. Once you figure out a formula that it's working, you should dump every penny that you have to ensure that speed to market and speed to growth is established. And that's something that people fear, that if you grow too fast, that you could you know, kill your company. But you need to manage that growth correctly and ensure that the money that's being spent is spent exactly to where it allows you to grow. The third thing that I see that, you know, I was I made that mistake early on, but realized that I was making it within the first 6 months, is not delegating. Just because you're the co-founder, it doesn't mean that you should be running every part of the business.
So true.
If you're not delegating every 6 months at least half of what you're working on, that means you're not doing a good job. In past years, I was only able to take maybe a few days of vacation, maybe a week of vacation. Recently, I took over 3 weeks worth of vacation, and nothing happened to the business. But the reason for that is I made sure that almost all my job, my knowledge, my tasks were actually taken care of by one of my students that was with me for almost 5 years, and now he's the 2IC, and he's doing the same thing. So not being fearful that you're replaceable is an important thing, just not for you only, just because you're human at the end of the day, and there's going to be a day that you're going to get sick, and you don't want that business to collapse just because you're sick.
And definitely, like, I feel like the definition of a founder is to be working on the business, not necessarily in the business as well. Like, you want to be working on the higher level things, like building the relationships and so on and so forth, versus the actual sending out of emails, writing this and writing that and stuff like that. So that makes complete sense.
Exactly. You know, so I think delegation is something that every founder should consider, and should be diligently doing it almost on a daily basis to ensure that people around him or her are well versed in the business, to allow the business to grow faster.
Okay. And for people wanting to know more about, like, your business and want to keep up to date with what you're doing, like, where are some key places? Like, obviously, you can go through that, the website, your social media handles and stuff like that, so people can keep in touch.
Sure, yeah. So SimplyCast, you can find us on simplycast.com, SimplyCast.com. The reason why you want to use us is if you're communicating with any of your clients and you're doing it, you're doing the same thing at least twice, chances are you shouldn't be doing it, and you should allow a system to take care of it. And the goal of that is to allow you to focus on, you know, working on the business rather than working in the business, as Mark said. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Pinterest. Again, SimplyCast is our handle, and I'm always available on Twitter myself at Saeedo, S-A-E-E-D-O, on Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest. So if you have any questions for me, I'm always happy to answer your questions. We actually have a free tool, and we also provide 100% free CRM. So for you to manage your process and manage your sales pipeline, we'll never charge you any money for the CRM, and our solution can integrate with any solution that exists out there, everything from Sugar CRM to Salesforce. So if you don't have a CRM, you can use our free one. It doesn't cost you a penny. However, if you do have one, we don't want you to switch over, and you can integrate into our marketing automation platform very easily.
So basically, they've got a plan for everybody. Excellent.
Right.
Great stuff.
Yeah, just because they're your listeners, I would offer them, but just don't spread the word. They just use Saeed as a in your email, and you would get a 50% off on any of our packages when you do sign up. Just mention Saeed and Mark Sims as well.
Excellent. So guys, make sure you do that. And as I say, the key thing is that it's great to listen to these interviews and think to yourself, like, there's some good information, but it's about taking the key parts of the interview that you think you can actually use within your business and start using those to grow your brand and your business and get better results, really. So Saeed, thanks so much for coming on today. It's been much appreciated, and I will speak to you soon. Take care.
Thanks, Mark. I really appreciate it. And I guess one last offer to your listeners is we will give them a 1 hour free strategy session to help them grow their business just because they're listening to your show.
Oh, that's amazing. Thanks a lot, Saeed. I'll make sure that I link to everything on the website, so it makes it easy for people to get over there.
You got it.
Great stuff. You take care, guys, and I'll speak to you soon. That's it from us, Ninja Outreach. All right.